If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Last Sunday, we began a look at this chapter and a passage that depicts a wonderful occasion for Thanksgiving. As God people brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, the people of God gathered for food, for fellowship, and for the giving of thanks. And I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you took some time to pause, to reflect on and remember all that God has done for you. I hope that you took some time to give thanks. Because if you're like me, there's a temptation to rush through Thanksgiving. I mean, Black Friday increasingly infringes upon Thanksgiving. And online deals now start well before Thanksgiving. Cyber Monday is tomorrow. We're bombarded again and again from every direction. And to me, it seems a little bit sad. Because on Thanksgiving Day, we may feel very good. We may be very grateful and satisfied. We may be filled to the brim and overflowing in more ways than one. But nagging hunger tends to creep back in, along with tendencies towards dissatisfaction and discontentment. The endless ads entice us to want more, to think we need more, to convince us we deserve more. But I'm convinced that what we need most is more than a mere occasion for Thanksgiving. What we need most is to nurture and maintain a spirit of Thanksgiving throughout the year. We need to find a way to maintain an attitude of gratitude that will shape and guide us throughout our lives. So this morning I want to present to you a cure for what ails you. Let me offer you a cure for jealousy, envy, bitterness, impatience, and anger. Let me offer you a cure for anxiety, discouragement, hopelessness, and despair. Let me offer you a cure for discontentment, dissatisfaction, selfishness, and greed. Let me offer you a cure for covetousness, lust, unfaithfulness, and adultery. Let me offer you a cure for resentment, spite, cruelty, and maliciousness. No, it's not snake oil. It's not empty promises. It's not a scam. It's a grateful spirit. A grateful spirit is a cure for much that hurts relationships and undermines our own sense of contentment and joy. You see, following the wonderful occasion of Thanksgiving recorded in 1 Chronicles 16, David sought to do that which would help the people nurture and maintain a spirit of thanksgiving throughout the year and on into the rest of their lives. Arrangements were made for regular worship in Jerusalem. And these arrangements were designed to help people maintain that spirit of thanksgiving. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verses 37 through 42. It says, so he left Asaph and his relatives there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark continually as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with his 68 relatives, Obed-Edom, also the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa, the gatekeepers. He left Zadok the priest and his relatives, the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord and the high place which was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering, continually morning and evening, even according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. With them were Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his loving kindness is everlasting. And with them were Heman and Jedutha with trumpets and cymbals for those who should sound aloud, and with instruments for the songs of God, and the sons of Jeduthun for the gate. As we look at this passage, we find that we can maintain a spirit of thanksgiving by embracing particular places. Now, the tabernacle in this day was the place of worship. It was a place where God's people came together to renew their focus, to encourage their hearts, and to restore their souls. Boy, we continue to need places dedicated to God. We are blessed to have just such places. Places consecrated to God, for thinking of God, and for giving thanks to God. This church building is just such a place. People outside these walls know why this place exists, even those who may not believe. And when we come to this place, we know what to expect. This place was constructed 100 years ago, but it was not constructed for business, for recreation, for entertainment, or for consumer endeavors. This structure was built as and intended for public place of worship, where our focus might be renewed, where thanks to God might be offered, where lives might be refocused and restored. Every time we come, every time we drive by, we are reminded of our need for holy places, a place that points us to and invites us to approach the Lord. And we continue to need holy symbols. A symbol is significant not for the object itself, but for what it stands for, what it represents. Now, the tabernacle in 1 Chronicles 16 and the Ark of the Covenant represented God's gracious presence with his people and his faithfulness to his covenant promises. Now, we too have symbols that depict God's love, God's presence, and God's faithful activity on our behalf. I mean, the cross behind me is a symbol of God's faithful and boundless love. And if you drive by the church at night, some of the lights are on, a reminder of the grace of God in Christ Jesus shining light into a dark world. The baptistry, where we have baptism, is a symbol of new life in Christ Jesus, the life God bestows and the new life we're meant to live. The Bible, too, is a symbol of God's gracious continuing to speak to us and to lead us. And we may have other symbols that are particularly memorable to each of us elsewhere in the church or in our homes. Symbols that move us to and renew us in thanksgiving. Particular places with meaningful symbols remind us of God's grace. And they move us to offer God our thanksgiving and praise. You know, I can't help but wonder if the prevalence of anxiety in our world today, the prevalence of discouragement and despair, may at least arise in part due to our failure to embrace particular places. Places that have the purpose of renewing our focus, of encouraging our hearts, and restoring our souls. Because we can maintain a spirit of thanksgiving by embracing particular places. And we can maintain a spirit of thanksgiving by engaging in particular practices. The people of God in every generation have engaged regularly in worship. And in this passage, they continue to sing, they continue to give thanks, they continue to offer sacrifices and present burnt offerings. These were constant and in many ways obtrusive and costly reminders of their debt to God and what God had done for them. You see, worship required something of the people. They had to give up time and resources to acknowledge God, to stop and to give thanks to God. And these reminders were commanded in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 40. To offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering continually, morning and evening, even according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. You know, we could learn something from these people. Because today we're often in a hurry, going on trips, visiting family, preparing meals, or going to ball games. We are on the go like never before. We have less and less time to slow down, less and less time to worship, less and less time to give thanks. We wolf down our meals on the go. We catch a worship service if we have time. We pass on regular quiet times and seldom offer even a prayer. It's no wonder we are having trouble maintaining a spirit of thanksgiving. But God has called us to practices that can help us, that can shape us, that can encourage us in being grateful. We're called to worship, to give thanks. Last Sunday, we noted that thanksgiving requires that we engage in the act of giving thanks. We don't just observe a holiday. We don't just talk about it. We give thanks. To nurture a spirit of thanksgiving requires that we give thanks and that it be a regular practice, a regular prayer. It's something that we're called to do whether we feel like it or not. When did the people in this passage do these things? Twice in these verses, we find the word continually. Verse 37 states, each day. Verse 40 says, continually, morning and evening. They work to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. By the habits they developed, by the practices they were engaged in, by the things that they did, to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving, the practice of giving thanks must become a habit. Not in the bad sense of a boring routine, but in the best sense, as a shaping and transforming discipline to nurture and maintain that spirit of gratitude. We're called to give thanks, to worship. And we're called to sing, to offer praise. Verse 42 mentions sacred songs, songs that are dedicated to and directed to God. Worship involves singing as we remember and respond to God's graciousness. And studies have shown that singing releases endorphins and hormones that bring pleasure and alleviate anxiety and stress. Have you ever been singing and been moved by the message of the song? Been drawn in and compelled to join your heart and your voice in that spirit of praise? Because those words are articulating exactly what you wanted to express. You felt compelled to express. You see, there are habits and practices that renew us, that encourage us, that shape us for gratitude. We can maintain a spirit of gratitude by engaging in regular, particular practices. And we can maintain a spirit of gratitude by enlisting particular people. The passage lists those who ministered at the tabernacle. There were gatekeepers, there were priests, there were musicians. It's a reminder that we can look to others for encouragement. The church can be a tremendous source of strength, of renewal, and encouragement. When we come together, we worship together, and we hear from one another. We're encouraged by one another, can draw strength from one another, and can offer support to one another. Some people help us nurture that spirit of gratitude. Now, some people do not. And if we're around negative, critical, complaining people, that attitude easily rubs off on us so that we can come to bear those same qualities as well. But if we're around those who are grateful, appreciative, positive, and encouraging, we find ourselves encouraged to be so as well. And we can look to others as examples. And my favorite example we find in Scripture is the Apostle Paul, a man who demonstrated a spirit of thanksgiving in his letters, all through them. In Ephesians, where he wrote, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you." In Colossians, when he wrote, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." In Thessalonians, he wrote, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers." And we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. He wrote to Philemon, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers." And to Timothy, "I thank God whom I serve, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength." To the church in Rome, he wrote, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, you know the Apostle Paul. You've read about some of the challenges he experienced, some of the hardships that he endured, some of the difficulties and disappointments that he faced, and yet his letters over and over again reflect that spirit of gratitude, that spirit of thanksgiving. And in those same letters, he sought to impart that same spirit to us. When he wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Or in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, where he wrote, "Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he wrote, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And he not only gave thanks, he encouraged thanks, and he modeled that spirit of thanksgiving in all of the ups and downs of life. There are people who continue to do that today. And they don't models for us, examples for us to embrace that spirit of thanksgiving. Well, why this emphasis on giving thanks? In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, throughout Paul's writings, why did God's people in 1 Chronicles 16 embrace a particular place, engage in those particular practices, and enlist particular people? Why did they do all of this? To nurture and maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. Verse 41 says, "With them were Heman and Jedutha, and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his loving kindness is everlasting." This place, these practices, and these people were given a vital theological foundation for everything that they did. Worship was an ongoing response to God's unmerited grace, immeasurable goodness, and unfailing love. See, the central theme of biblical thanksgiving is the love of God. That's why we do what we do. That is why we come to this particular place. That's why we engage regularly in particular practices. That's why we enlist particular people to help us maintain that spirit of thanksgiving. What would you pay for the cure for what ails you? To improve your life, to lessen your anxiety, to make your life more satisfying and your relationships more fulfilling. What would you pay to make your joy more complete? The cure for what ails you can be yours. Not for $99.99, not for $59.99, not even for the cheap price of $29.99. It could be yours for the basic spirit of thanksgiving. You see, we don't need something more. We don't need something different. We don't need something else. What we need most is a change within. A change a spirit of gratitude brings about. Thanksgiving ought not be a once-a-year emphasis. It ought not be merely an occasion. It ought to be a way of life. A way of life is nurtured by regular practices at significant places with other people of faith so that we might be restored, renewed, refreshed, and refocused again and again on the goodness and grace of God, so that we too always, always give thanks. This morning, do you know the love of God? Do you know that love that has no limits, knows no bounds, that endures forever? Have you responded in faith, dependence to that love? Have you thrown yourself in dependence on what He's provided and what He's promised? Say, God, I need that kind of security in a world that is constantly changing, that is uncertain. I need that which is dependable, that which is rock solid. I need the grace and salvation you provided in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you're here this morning and God is drawing you for the first time to say, God, I need what you've done. Come into my life, be my Savior and Lord. Help me walk with you in faith from this day forward. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're a person of faith. Well, are you nurturing a spirit of thanksgiving? Or have you skipped over thanksgiving to the dissatisfaction that is so prevalent in this season? This is so prevalent in our world. Always looking for something else, desiring something else, seeking after something else. And maybe this morning God is calling you to renewal by reflecting on what He's done, by reflecting and remembering what He's provided, and allowing that gratitude to well up within you because of what He's provided. Perhaps you're here this morning and God is leading you to evaluate the spirit you are nurturing, the places, the practices, and the people in your life. Are they helping you maintain a spirit of thanksgiving? Are they drawing you closer to God in an appreciation of His love? Are they drawing you closer to God to reflect on who He is and what He's done for us? Are they nurturing a satisfaction in what He's provided and what He's accomplished? Perhaps this morning, as a person of faith, God is calling you to make some changes. To say, I need more of what you offer, God. From the places you've provided, from the practices that I can easily embrace and be a part of. and the people that you've put around me. I need that environment. I need that help. I need that change to maintain that spirit throughout the year. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're without a church home, and God is leading you to partner with us to commit to specific practices among this particular group of people to say, I need that. I need it. Not just during a particular season, not just during a particular time in my life. I need it from now on. I need those places. I need those practices. I need God's people around me. And if God is leading you here to partner with us, we would welcome you as we journey together in seeking to nurture and maintain that spirit of gratitude. John's going to come and lead us in our hymn of invitation this morning. However God may be leading you to respond, whether here at the front or there in your pew, I invite you to do so as we stand together and sing our hymn of invitation, I Need Thee Every Hour. Would you stand together?